In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But where is he now? He's risen, but where is he? Well, we know from Scripture that he has ascended to the right hand of his Father in heaven. And that means that he is the Father's right hand man. He's the guy who does everything for the power that sits on the throne. So that begs the question, well, what does he do on God the Father's behalf? And that kind of depends to which time you're referring to that he was in heaven. Because when he died, he went to the Father's side for 3 days, and he had a very specific task that time, which is a slightly different task than when he ascended back to the Father's right hand. And so, at that time, when he died, he brought his blood shed on the cross before the Father's throne in heaven, and that precious blood poured out in the presence of the Father has paid the full penalty for any and all sins done by all of humanity throughout all of history. And that means that the eternal Son's suffering was sufficient to fully satisfy God's righteous wrath against wickedness. Now, that's hard to imagine. And yet it is true. It's hard to imagine because you and I have wrath. We have things that we have been hurt over. We have things we are angry about, people who have wronged us. And there are times where some of those things we have been wronged, it has been a small thing, like a slight to our ego or to ourself or my wife or my kids or at my work. For some of us, it's bigger things that we have wrath and anger about. For some of us, it's things like our parents who have abused us with words or violence, or when they were abusing substances and they abused us sexually or things like that. For some of us, it is spouses who have been unfaithful or children who have been molested. And so we are righteously angry about those things. And for those things that come to mind for you, you might wonder, I don't know if I can forgive that thing. And that, of course, is sin. Because we all know and pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. How can we expect God to forgive us if we won't forgive? And of course, we hate those who have hurt us or our loved ones. Maybe we even wish harm on them. Maybe we even wish eternal damnation on them. Repent. For though you do not have the strength to forgive those people who've done things like that to you, Christ, your mighty Savior, has poured out himself to forgive all, even you and they, and all that moral filth and excessive wrath and wickedness that has ever been done, even Hitler's sins were atoned for by your God. That's what your Savior did when he went to heaven that first time at his death. He poured his own lifeblood on the heavenly altar. He plunged the flaming sword of God's wrath against sin that keeps us from the paradise of God's unbroken presence. He plunged it into his own flesh, quenching the wrath and the fire and the fury of God's justice. His own blood put out the flame and opened the gates of paradise to you and me. And having satisfied God's righteous anger over wickedness, he put to death sin in himself. And then he came back alive to proclaim sin and death are over, that the snake's head has been crushed, that his death was but a flesh wound. Not some deadly Achilles heel to him, but a simple, easily healed scratch. And though you and I are born steeped in sin, steeped in death, though our very instincts and our choices that we make are all wrong and they heap more death upon ourselves, in Christ, through your baptism into his death and his victory over sin, you too have life. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And he stayed on earth when he rose. He stayed on earth just long enough, just 40 days, long enough to warn and to train and to implant his word of truth into his apostles. And then he ascended back up to heaven. 10 days after that, he sent his Holy Spirit. And that's what he's doing up in heaven right now. He is sending his Holy Spirit and guiding and directing his work here on earth. He is working in the world through this quiet, unseen member of the Trinity who hides himself in simple things like bread and water and words. And the Holy Spirit comes to earth through those three means of salvation, the Word and the two sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. And through those things, through his work in the world, he convicts, he accuses, he exposes what is true to the world about three specific things, about sin, justification, and judgment, we were told by Jesus. Three things. That's what Christ's work in heaven is all about right now. It's working in the world through the Holy Spirit, in the hearts of individuals everywhere, to convict people of sin and justification and judgment. That's the Holy Spirit's threefold work. Now, he has to convict the world of sin, because everybody sins. Every single one of us, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, we are all under the curse of sin. And so how can you and I, who claim to love God and want to love each other, how can we help people if people are blind to their own problem? Sin is why the world is the way it is. It is why the world is awful. It's because we live in this valley of the shadow of death due to sin. And even when things are awesome in your life, even then, the world is still dominated by this fear of death. And that fear of death manifests in all kinds of ways. One of the most prominent, I think, in our society is this lack of satisfaction, which is the mark of everyone, everywhere. Who is satisfied with what they have? With the time that you have? Who doesn't have regrets or lost opportunities or wasted time? And of course, it doesn't help to endlessly dwell on those regrets. But at the same time, to deny that you have any regrets is foolish, because it's not reality. Every single one of us has messed up. We've all done things that we wish we could have done better. We have even flat out sinned and failed and done what is wicked. And yet our loving God is so gracious to you and me that he has worked good even out of those times where you have sinned, where you know what you did was wrong. And so it's hard to look back on our own histories. It's hard to look back and imagine things being any different, because sometimes we don't even want things to be different because we know. And we thank God for the blessings that he's worked, even through my own mistakes. But to not own up to the fact that they were mistakes, to not call them what they are, is just foolish. But of course, to recognize God's blessings, even in the midst of our sin, that is wisdom. That is truth. That is faith. And so the Holy Spirit convicts anybody who will hear. He convicts them of sin. He does this because you can't believe in your Savior until you recognize your own need. But once you realize that you are a sinner, once you realize your desperate need, then Jesus' death in your place is the only answer, and his victory over death is your joy. And so once the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin through some good Christian person speaking God's condemning law to you, and you are convicted of your miserable state as a sinner, then God can give you faith in his Son who saves you. And once you know that you are a sinner through some good Christian person who speaks then of your divine Savior, then the Holy Spirit works in your heart the fact that God is not against you, that God's righteous wrath against sin is gone, that it has been quenched, that the fire has been put out by the blood of Jesus. And so, with Jesus gone up to heaven and his eyewitnesses even having died, we have to have some kind of divine power that needs to work that faith in us. Because you and I are doubters. We are people of flesh and blood. We're people made of earth. We're sensible. Our feet are on the ground. And so often our noses are to the grindstone, or our eyes are distracted by what we see. And so we have to taste and see for ourselves things. And yet spiritual things really can't be seen. That's why Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. And with our Savior in heaven, how can we believe in what he did? And that's why the Holy Spirit has to work. That's why that second thing the Holy Spirit has to convict you of is your justification before the Father by Christ Jesus' work on the cross. And so his work up there, Jesus' work up there, is to send the Holy Spirit, who defeats our own natural skepticism and creates saving faith in our hearts. And once you have that faith born in you, then the Holy Spirit convinces us of a third thing. The Holy Spirit convinces you that Satan himself is judged. And that means you don't need to live in fear. Even though this world has all kinds of twists and turns, even though awful things happen every single day, even though things are unsure and the majority of people on earth have never lived in the kind of security and wealth that we have now, most people on earth who've ever lived have always lived in situations where they never knew what barbarian was going to crash through the gates of their town and rape and pillage and kill and destroy. Fear is a hallmark of life on this side of heaven. And outside of North America, most people live in that same fear. Think of the folks over in Iraq. Think of the folks with living with bombers every single day, living with a foreign government's army invading their land, never knowing whether that army is going to come crashing through the door, whether some drone missile strike is going to wipe out their children or themselves. People live in fear. We live in fear because we think Satan has won. But Satan is judged. Satan has not won. Satan is defeated by Jesus' death on the cross. And so we do not need to live in fear of Satan. Because Satan and this world can destroy your body. They can destroy the things you care about. But they cannot take from you and from your children the salvation that was granted to you in your baptism. The salvation that is given to you every time you hear this word of the gospel and the forgiveness of your sins. Your eternal life cannot be taken from you. And what God wants to do for you and me here on earth is take our fear of all the things that we know can happen here. He wants to take that fear from us so that we can live in joy, so that we can live as his people, so that we don't have to live in fear and anger and wrath, that we can be his people, freed from the fear of death. That's what he wants to do. Because, of course, if God is for us, who can be against us? Death itself has been defeated. Life has been won for you. And the church here on earth, even though we are outwardly wasting away, yet in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors over this world. And so, while the world is going to hell in a handbasket, the church's job in this world is not to reform the world. The church's job in this world is not to save the world so that it can merely die another day, or to try to make the world better. That's not the church's job. If our society stops being Christian, if no one here in Canada believes, if our leaders are pagans, so what? That's always been the way the world has been. This too shall pass. The world has always been dying. It's always been on the verge of extinction. It's always been in crisis. There have always been wars and rumors of wars. There have always been great cataclysms wiping out the masses. It is only God's mercy that keeps this world from obliterating itself. God's mercy is the only thing keeping us here in the first place. So we have to ask, why does God in mercy keep us here in the midst of a world that so often, when you look at history, seems so hellish? Well, the church's job in the midst of this world is not necessarily to stop these things or to make people wise up and act better. The church's job is to proclaim Christ crucified for sinners, so that they would be convicted of their own sin, so that they would receive saving faith which gives them Christ's righteousness and assures them of Satan's defeat. The church is always on sure ground, even when steeples are falling, even when congregations are dying, for Christ is our cornerstone. And on this rock of faith, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so, the gospel is an awful lot like a refreshing rain shower. It's here for a time, but we all know that showers pass, right? Showers come to an end. The gospel brings life to those who will receive it. But if none do when the gospel is proclaimed, if none cherish it, then the gospel moves on. You wonder why churches perish? Because quite often in their midst, the gospel was not cherished. Because the rain showers do not stay. So congregations come and go, but the Holy Spirit will always remain. The word of truth endures. This will not pass away. This faith that he imparts will continue until Christ comes again. And the Holy Spirit is making known what Jesus is declaring in heaven. Because where did the Holy Spirit get that news in the first place? He got it from Jesus, who got it from the Father. And so the triune God, all three persons of God, have declared that sin is vanquished, that Christ's righteousness has been given to those who believe, that Satan is defeated and judged. That's what the Holy Spirit does in you. He convinces you that these things are true, and he prompts you to live like they are true. And this means that as your faith blossoms and blooms in you, the wrath that you have against various things, it gets put away from you. Because your own forgiveness that Christ has given you, it soothes your soul. And so as you grow in maturity, you become a seeker of truth. For the truth that heaven declares has come to you, and it has changed you, it matures you, and it gives you ears to hear. You have heard it, you've believed it, you've been convinced by it. So you want to listen to what others are saying. You want to hear their hurts, and you want to speak to them the only words that can heal their hearts. Not in anger against the foolishness or the wickedness of this world, but in love for them. For this is what the Holy Spirit works in us through Christ's cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.